We sing a song sometimes, well, and not in this book, but in other books, that admonishes us to count our many blessings. You know, it says, name them one by one. But too often, you know, we limit ourselves to the counting of only physical blessings, things like our homes or our cars, jobs, or even our health, and so forth. And it's important to always thank God for the physical things that we have been blessed with, since all is the Lord's and we are simply allowed to use these things. But often we lose sight of the spiritual blessings that we have available to us in Christ. Many times when we thank God, we simply say thank you for every spiritual blessing, but maybe sometimes we don't really fully appreciate all the spiritual blessings that we have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And not only have we been blessed with every spiritual blessing, but we have also been blessed abundantly according to scriptures. This evening, I'd like for us to count some of the abundant spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And first, we are blessed with abundant mercy and grace. God tells us he has abundant mercy toward us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, we must always be mindful, I think, of the fact that God has shown us abundant mercy. God has not given us what we deserve. And in a very simple sense, the mercy of God is not giving us what we deserve for our actions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that all of us were dead to our sins, and we deserve to remain in that condition, dead in our sins and separated from God. But not only do we deserve to be cut off from God, we all deserve the outcome of Uzzah and Ananias and Sapphira and Nadab and Abihu. Have you ever thought that God has every right to just strike us down when we violate his commands, as he has done toward others in the past? Maybe it's only by God's mercy that his wrath does not consume each of us at the moment of our transgressions. But the mercy of the Lord, it goes further than all this. Not only is the Lord's mercy extended so that we don't get what we deserve, but the Lord is also extending pardon in his mercy. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, I'm amazed that God would want to abundantly pardon us from our sins, aren't you? I mean, why would God do this? Why would God be so merciful to us? Isaiah chapter 55 is a whole chapter about this, and I think it tells us in verse 8, it says that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. It's hard for us to understand that. And that's why it's interesting to see that Isaiah applies these words to the mercy and pardon of the Lord for us. None of us would have acted with mercy towards somebody else with a list of violations that we have against God. But God, who is abundant in mercy, has pardoned us. This leads us to another concept, which is the abundant grace of God. And grace, in its simplest form, is receiving something that we don't deserve. Like the pardon Isaiah just described, grace carries with it the idea of receiving a gift. We don't deserve what we receive, but it's given out of compassion and the goodness of someone, the other person's heart. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 17 says, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. As we mentioned, a gift is something that is not merited and is not deserved. That is the essence, I guess you could say, of the gift that God has extended to us. Instead of giving us the consequences for our actions immediately, which is what we deserve, God has extended grace to us, even though we don't deserve it, in the form of a sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The concepts, I think, are linked really closely together when you get to Ephesians chapter 2. And I won't read that chapter due to time constraints, but it explains that God is rich in mercy and has saved us by the immeasurable riches of His grace. We receive this gift of God through faith in Jesus. We're blessed with abundant goodness. Also, if Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. God's goodness has been stored up for those who fear Him and has worked in those who turn to God for refuge. The idea of goodness here, I think it's a concept here which seems to simply indicate that the Lord, He's always wanting to do good things toward His people. God is abundant in His goodness toward His people. What this means is that God gives us everything that we need. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Everything that you and I need for life and for godliness, God has given to us. And you know, Jonah understood that that was the character of God. The love of God is so great that it leads God to act in goodness to His children. Jonah said in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah knew that if he preached to Nineveh, that God would not punish them because of the characteristics that God has. God is gracious and He's compassionate, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. The Psalms declare in Psalm 33:5, says the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. You know, I don't think that I, or maybe many of us, fully appreciate the continual working of the providence of God in our lives. You know, too often we use words like luck and fortune, and we attribute that and destiny, which ought to be attributed to God. The hand of God working in our lives through providential means. You know, the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Everything that exists is by the goodness of God. Why do we live? You know, why is there a universe? Why are there planets and animals and stars and plants and so forth? All of these things exist only because of God's goodness. You know, God doesn't need any of these things. What use can God get out of all this stuff? All things created are for our benefit and come from God's goodness. So in Psalm 107, the psalmist four separate times declare in Psalm 107, verse 8, 15, 21, and 31, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, he repeats that, I think, for emphasis in our minds that we need to remember and always give thanks for God's goodness, because it's only through His goodness that, really, it's only through His goodness that our lives are sustained. You know, we're blessed with abundant power. Psalms 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." The power of the Lord is great in abundance, and it's really important in developing our faith. It's when we understand that God has this great power that we can begin to surrender ourselves to God, to surrender our lives. And, you know, when we face difficult circumstances, we're able to let God have control. When we understand that God has all the power. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to His power that is at work within us." The first point from Paul's word is that there is a lot of power at God's disposal. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask for, and even beyond what we can even imagine. God can do far beyond what we can ask or even think. There's nothing that we can think of that God cannot do, and do it better than we can imagine. And that's the greatness of God's power. But the second point is just as important. It's not that we have this all-powerful God who refuses to use His power, nor a God who has this immeasurable power but only uses it for selfish gain. God uses this power in our lives for our benefit. That's why Paul said, "According to His power that is at work within us." The immense power that God has is being put to work in our lives if we're obedient. You know, knowing all this, well, it should create in us a desire to pray frequently and fervently. This is one of the ways God is able to work His power in us, through prayer. The other way God works His power within us is through the Word of God, through the Bible. That's what Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through a knowledge of Him who called us. How else can we get to know God except through what He has revealed to us through His apostles and prophets who wrote down what we have today in the Bible and the Scriptures? You know, have we tapped into that power of God? I'm afraid sometimes that we're simply a 40-watt light bulb, I guess you could say, instead of a power as strong as the sun, only because we haven't studied our Scriptures enough. We've not turned our lives over and tapped into that power. There's so much more available in Christ, yet we boil down God sometimes to religious requirements such as, you know, attendance or giving, or partaking in the Lord's Supper. You know, we haven't tapped into much of God's abundant power when we neglect studying the Bible, studying the Scriptures, and studying His Word. We can be blessed with abundant joy in this life. You know, being a disciple of Christ means that we ought to have joy that those outside of Christ just don't have. The Christian is always to be joyful because what each of us have, it's in the Lord. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit includes joy. The joy is to be abundant within us. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 and 9, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not know Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Paul commanded joy in our lives in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." We should remember that Paul gave that command while he was in the pits of his own despair, when he was imprisoned and he was suffering, yet he said that we're always to rejoice. There is to always be a basic joy, should be, in the hearts of Christians. That's because of the abundant life that we have in Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, but how often is this not the case? While the fruit of the Spirit includes joy, and we're commanded to rejoice with all joy in all situations, the average American Christian really sometimes has no joy. They don't get their joy in serving the Lord, but it's only get it in material gain, maybe, or worldly things instead of joy. Many who claim to be Christians, well, they're complainers, they're grumblers, and you know, they can never really find any goodness or good or hope in any situation. And to these folks, the outlook is mostly negative. The glass is always half empty, and if there's anything to grumble about, then there's going to be grumbling. This is not the life that God wants from us, that He expects from us. What this attitude shows is we have not put on the new self in Christ. We are still living for ourselves. We have not found the abundant life that Christ promised to all who serve Him. We're still living in the physical and the material life. And if all there is to life is what's in it for me and what I see in this physical world, then no wonder we complain and grumble. But this attitude shows that this is exactly where our focus is. We're ungrateful for what God has done, and instead we're looking selfishly at ourselves. What we need is the renewing of our minds, as Paul commanded us. Life is not about self. It's about God. The greatest joys in life are found in serving God. I think it was James this last Sunday evening that said that some of the greatest joy that you can experience is by helping those who are in need. And isn't it great when I don't have to worry or feel anxious, because I know God will take care of me? Even though my financial ends may not be meeting, the joy found in God goes far beyond what we see in this physical world. If we're grumblers and complainers and live like that, then we've lost our focus and we're not living the abundant life in Christ. And we're blessed by being able to have the opportunity to go to heaven. One of the greatest joys that we have is the hope of eternal life in heaven with the Lord. So said Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He said, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord has been abundantly supplied to us. Wow, what a statement. Every opportunity has been provided by the Lord so that we can have every advantage of entering into the kingdom of God. What Peter said here really sums up all that God has done for us. By God's mercy and grace, God has sent His Son to the world to become a sacrifice for us, for our sins. You know, God continues to show His loving kindness and goodness toward us by providing us everything we need for life and for godliness. The power of God is available to us. These are the things that God has done to abundantly provide each of us an entrance into the kingdom of God. So we need to count our spiritual blessings. What I hope that we see is that we have many things to be thankful for in regard to spiritual blessings. There's nothing lacking in our lives, because God supplies every need if we will allow Him to. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Every need can be met by the Lord. You know, this includes our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, our personal needs. Everything that we need can be satisfied by God. The only reason that we may have something lacking in our lives is because we have not allowed God to fill that void. Too often we're trying to fill voids in our lives by some other means, and we're just coming up empty. Have you ever talked to somebody who's unhappy because their job is unfulfilling? You know, it's great to have a job that you get satisfaction from, but it's not meant to fulfill our deeper needs. Work is just it's just the means for survival. We will never have our deep needs met in physical ways. As Christians, don't you agree that deep yearning that each of us has maybe is placed in our hearts by God so that we'll seek after Him? And let's count our physical blessings too. What's amazing is that God has also promised to meet our physical needs also. If it was not enough for God to take care of us, take care of every other need that we have, God has also promised to take care of us physically. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, never put your trust in riches or in yourselves for your needs. God wants us to use these things that He has given us in His service. Let us be thankful for the things that really, truly matter in this life. Let's also remember that God has provided all this, everything that we have. God wants us to use these things that He has given us in service to Him. Let's be thankful to God for the things that really matter. That's the lesson. If you're here tonight and you've heard the word and you've believed it, you can come forward and repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the true Son of God, and you can be baptized and added to His number. If you've already taken those steps but you've sinned publicly or you need to have a prayer from the church, you can come forward right now as we stand and sing the invitation song.